Good night, Harris.
Hello, Dirk. Hey, you feeling all right? Cannot join the bridge to Lake Bells.
Passage of the Tangmar. The story of a ship and its cargo of death.
Please, Lee, it is very important. You must promise me that you will never tell anyone that I was in England when this man Slavin was killed.
I'd gone up to the bridge of the Tangmar at about 20 to 12 midnight. I was due on watch at 8 bells, but pacing up and down in my cabin trying to work out whether or not Edwin Fuker had been pushed overboard wasn't getting me anywhere. It was a clear night. I could see Lee Blake and Ilona Fedorov standing close together on the deck. Lee might have been aboard to help me find Peter Slavin's killer, but it was pretty obvious he wasn't letting business interfere with pleasure. I didn't know until later that the American had just found another passenger who had been in England at the time of Slavin's death. The exotic Miss Fedorov, who'd been so anxious to make us all suspicious of Dr. Lawler and the Major. If the last 48 hours were a sample of what the voyage to Jamaica was going to be like, it promised that at least I wouldn't have time to be bored.
You must do as I say, Lee. Promise that you will.
Well, what makes it so important?
The fact that I ask it, isn't it enough?
Is it something to do with the murder of Peter Slavin?
How do you know anything about that?
On this ship? Are you kidding? Seems to be the main topic of conversation. Oh,
frightens me. To be so close to security at last. So close, and yet...
And yet what?
Oh, I will try to make you understand. Ever since I can remember, I've had to fight for the things I wanted from life. Fight with the only weapons I have.
You must have won a lot of victories.
Oh, let us walk a little, please. I grew up in China. I was born there. My father was killed in the Russian Revolution, and my mother fled along with thousands of other white Russians to China. I suppose she was luckier than some of her friends. She married again. But it made no real difference to her. She lived only for the day when we would return to the world she had known as a girl, the luxury and glitter of the Russian court. I don't think she even saw the teeming millions of people who fought daily to get enough to eat, but I saw it. I saw it all. From as far back as I can remember. In Hankow, Canton, Hong Kong.
But you managed to get away from China.
I came to Australia as an immigrant, just after the war. My mother was dead. There was nothing to keep me with the man she'd married. Since then, Lee, there have been only little times when I was short of money. It's not so difficult to find a protector.
And after you collect your share of the Wherryman estate?
For the first time in my life, I shall be able to please myself. Not to listen to this dull talk and laugh. Not to look interested when I'm so bored I could scream.
Yeah, I get your point. But why is it so important that no one should know you were in England?
Because of a man. The man who took me there.
Not Peter Slavin?
No. I left this man and returned to Australia and found the letter from Jamaica waiting for me. And I found something else. A man named Keith who wanted to marry me. I was such a child. I said goodbye to him on the day we sailed.
Yeah, this other
man... Oh, Lee, isn't there any part of your life that you would like to forget? Well, that is why I do not wish to talk of England. It is finished. All the past is finished.
Yeah, I guess we'd better turn in, Ilona.
You haven't promised?
No, I guess I haven't. And you haven't told the truth, have you?
What?
There wasn't any man who took you to England. That's an excuse you dreamed up because you're terrified of one thing. Now that you're so close to this independence you speak of, you might miss out. And for why? Because you were in England at the time of Slavin's death, and you had as good a reason as any of the other beneficiaries to bump him off. Right?
How dare you speak to me like this?
Look, Ilona, whether you did or not is beside the point. But don't bring me out here on deck and think that you can twist me around that little finger of yours by falling into my arms. You can't. but getting an episode, unpleasant episode. What do you take me for? Good night.
Lee, please come back, Lee.
What now?
You're right, I am frightened. I read of this man's death and returned to Australia at once.
Then you heard from Jamaica before you went to England, huh?
Yes, yes. Oh, Lee, can't you understand? It was as if the money was already in my hand. I wanted to spend it, to enjoy life, to...
So you decided to take a sea trip, huh? And then when you read of Slavin's death, you remembered the letter which stipulated that should any one of you fail to arrive in Jamaica, his or her share went to the others. So you panicked and ran, right?
Right.
There's only one thing, Ilona. If I were you, I'd go easy on the other passengers. The way you've been trying to point the bone, they're likely to point it right back if they ever find out.
Isn't that up to you?
I'll promise you one thing, Ilona. They won't find out, not from me. Come on. I'd better take you to your cabin.
You're very quiet, Sheldon. Something wrong?
I didn't sleep very well, that's all.
Well, then let's step it out a little, blow some of the cobwebs away.
You go on, Father. I'll sit here.
You're not sickening for anything, are you?
Would it matter? I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Please try to make an effort, Father. We've been in this boat for 3 days now, and apart from this early morning walk around the deck, you stay in your cabin. I have to face the other passengers.
You make excuses. Is that it? Well, don't. Tell them the truth. But I prefer my own company. Fine bunch they are, anyway. Do you expect me to take kindly to a fellow who's such a fool that he falls overboard?
They seem very nice people.
Well, then you talk to him. Make up for both of us.
Why did you bring me with you, Father?
You're my daughter, aren't you?
You insist that I go everywhere with you, and yet all you do is remind me that...
Sometimes when I look at you, Sam, it's as if your mother was still here. I almost start to call you Catherine, and... Even then I remember.
Is mother the reason you gave up the army?
I've told you before, Sharon. I don't want to talk about the army. Those days are finished. An army I don't understand anymore. When any trumped-up little fool can get a commission. You'd have to meet them in the club. They're not interested in the army as a career. Never even think of it in peacetime. Then when war starts, they get promoted over the heads of men who've given their life to the army. Major. Major in 39, Major in 42. I was glad to get out of it.
But it seems such a waste.
Does it? Let them have their amateur soldiers. But when we get back to England, I'll meet those fellas on their own ground. No need to try and make a pension stretch out anymore, Sharon. When we get back home, Major Challoner will be somebody. I'll bet there'll be a few of them will come begging for favors then.
Is that all this money means to you?
I think I'll finish my walk, Sharon. You arrange my breakfast to be sent to the cabin?
Yes, Father.
And ask that infernal steward if he can't arrange to serve my toast without burning it to a crisp. Morning, Kendall.
Good morning, Major. Taking a turn around the deck, eh?
Remarkable deduction, Kendall. Remarkable.
What kind of a reaction do I get if I mention that you appear not to be taking a turn around the deck, Miss Challoner?
I'm so used to apologizing for Father's rudeness that it's almost second nature.
You mind if I sit down?
Not at all.
As a first officer, it's my duty to see that the passengers are enjoying themselves, Miss Challoner. You don't appear to be.
Well,
if there's anything I can do, anything at all...
It's not anything to worry about.
All right. Change of subject coming up.
No, don't change the subject. I'd like to talk to someone.
Go right ahead.
Mr. Kendall, if you were... Supposing you were an only child and... Why is it that some men... My mother died when I was born. And I seem to have been living with that ever since.
Doing a sort of perpetual penance.
Yes. Over the years, I seem to have worked up such a feeling of guilt about it that... I'm sorry to trouble you with all this, but... Well, everything that happens. The fact that Daddy didn't get promoted during the war. The fact that he was invalided out of the service and watched his junior officers get ahead. All because I had the bad taste to be born at all. Do I sound very disloyal?
You sound heartbroken, crying yourself to sleep in your cabin.
I didn't know that anyone could hear.
Did you ever try to leave him?
Once. Went up to London, but he came after me, and it was much easier to go back. In a way, that's why I'm glad about the money. Because I think he'll be so busy putting up a front that he won't know whether I'm there or not.
Well, he's coming back. Oh. I better be on my rounds.
Well, get up, Kendall. I think you'll need a chair for this.
Father, don't start anything now, Karen, please.
Go to your cabin. I wish to speak with Mr. Kendall alone.
Mr. Kendall.
Karen, please.
All right.
Kendall, is it usual for first officers to lounge around on deck when everything's calling for their attention?
Major Challoner, I think we'll both enjoy this voyage a lot more if we get one thing straight.
And that's what I'm trying to do. You remember I objected to that American fellow Lee Blake coming aboard? But I told you he was probably connected with the Wedderburn fortune in some way?
Yes.
If you care to go up to the boat deck, you'll find the body of that Australian, Ben Miller. He looks very dead.
The Major's voice was dispassionate, and he smiled crookedly as I left him and raced along the deck. As I looked down at the body of Ben Miller, I suddenly realized that he was the only passenger aboard who'd possessed a cast-iron alibi for the time of Peter Slavin's murder in England. The murder before this passage of the Tangmar.